That's Mooney in the backfield. Fields rolls his direction to the right on fourth and one, trying to keep the play alive, and now he's dead.
There's learning lessons through all of it.
Are you a sicko?
Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Pointless Exercise Podcast. It's a Bears Tuesday. And with me, as always, talk about the Bears is actor, comedian Mike Pusateri. Of course, you could find this podcast anywhere. Fine podcasts are sold for free. You can sign up for the newsletter at pointlessexercise.com. Because it's the holidays and I'm such a giving person, subscriptions are 30% off. Substack still hasn't figured out, even though they promised me the gift subscription thing that's still selling those at full price. But, you know, it's worth it. And really, how much do you like the people you're giving gifts if you need a discount to give them the gift?
Insulting, almost, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Substack on this, I think.
Yeah.
You could follow us on Instagram at PointlessExercise1. And I think that's probably it. So, Mike, how are things going with you, and how can the good people keep up with your exciting career?
They can follow me on the Twitters at Mike Pusateri. Instagram, I am Mike Pusateri. And IMDb Pro Mike Pusateri 2. So you have Pointless Exercise 1 and Mike Pusateri 2 to keep things nice and simple for you. And, of course, the website, MikePusateri.com.
Very good.
So we're recording this on a Tuesday morning after the Bears' exciting Monday night football game.
Yeah, a game so exciting that the announcers were clearly irritated by the end of it.
Yeah.
Always a good sign when, during the broadcast, out of nowhere, the play-by-play guy starts to talk about how they changed the rules as far as when you can interview potential coaches if you fired your coach. And then they just kind of zoom in on Matt Nagy, still having his game-long aneurysm on the sidelines.
You're right. Or didn't he even say... Or if you fired him, or if you've told him.
Yeah, given them notice.
So, like, that's clearly seems like the Thanksgiving thing. Like, you could just tell them, guys, again, which you already did, clearly, and then backed off it.
It's funny. You keep hearing people say, well, they have to fire Nagy to do that, because how embarrassing would it be to have those interviews in the building? It's like, okay, number one, you're not bringing Byron Leftwich to Hallis Hall in the middle of the season. You're going to him.
Right.
Secondly, I've seen Matt Nagy. It doesn't seem like that's a guy who you can embarrass.
It doesn't seem like it.
Because he certainly should have been embarrassed a long time ago, and nothing seems to faze him.
Right.
He'd probably offer to be in on the interview, ask some great questions.
Yeah. Right. Offer some guidance. I mean, who better?
I'm going to put a play up here, Byron, and I want you to tell me how great it is. What do you think? Is this football? What is that you drew on the board, Matt? I see circles and X's. Are those emojis? What are those?
Man, I'm confused. You have 8 X's and 14 circles. What? I'm not sure this is lining up exactly.
Well, Byron, clearly, if you've ever been in battle, you know that the army with the most forces tends to win. So on this play, we're just going to use 15 guys. We're going to overwhelm them with numbers. So yeah, maybe I'll start with the weird energy that Matt had all night.
Yeah. Frantic, almost.
It was the beginning of the game was pretty standard for a team that feels like it's overmatched, in the Bears' case, overmatched and undermanned with all the COVID and all the other injuries, where they really psych themselves up and they're celebrating anything, just over the top. And usually that that lasts a few plays and then they kind of settle into the game.
Right.
But Nagy never calmed down. He was crazed the entire game, where he got one personal foul, he said, for using magic words. Abracadabra.
Uh-huh.
And he very nearly got thrown out late in the game when he challenged the spot, and he slammed the replay flag down right at the ref while he was chewing him out.
Yeah.
And the ref very clearly told him, you know, if they have one more word, I'm going to throw you out. If I was an Aggie, I'd have just gone for the, you know. You see it in baseball a lot where a manager who knows he's done just gets thrown out of games basically so he can go home.
Yeah.
I kind of thought maybe that's what Matt was doing.
Well, and if he did, by the way, he would have gotten cheered by the crowd. So that's the only way he's going to walk out, actually, to cheers.
Yeah. Maybe that was the whole plan. He's like, oh, I can't even. That was the game plan. And as we know, his game plans never work.
They're terrible. They're not well thought out.
So the Bears' defense, I mean, they got a boost. They got Akeem Hicks back, mm-hmm. who had been gone for a very long time.
He was great.
But they had literally none of their starting secondary players were active. So they were playing guys like, you know, all of our favorites. Kendall Vildor and Marquis Christian and Tease Tabor was running around back there. And then the rookie, sixth round pick, Thomas Graham Jr., a guy they drafted from Oregon, who they cut during training camp and put him back on the practice squad because nobody wanted him. Mm-hmm. And he sat on the practice squad for 14 weeks. They had to play him last night. They'd run out of bodies. And he was their best defensive back.
It was fantastic.
Now, I mean, it could just be one. Like, sometimes you see it in baseball, like, where a team brings a pitcher up who's been in the minors for 12 years. And, like, remember Ryan O'Malley for the Cubs?
Yeah.
And then he's never good again. And it could be that one thing. But I just, knowing these Bears, with all of the secondary problems they've had all year, it would be just completely true to form that they actually had a useful player that they watched practice every day, and they just never abused.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's because the Bears secondary is so talented and deep, right? That mm-hmm. he just, oh, no, that's not it. And, you know, the guy, as you said, he was drafted. Okay. He played at Oregon. That's a big-time school and a big-time conference. He's probably pretty good. Like, really, legit, a pretty good cornerback. But you wouldn't know it because he's been inactive this entire season when the Bears have a terrible problem with their secondary.
Yes. Really. Yeah, they're clear. Their biggest problem has been anybody but Jalen Johnson in the secondary. Like, you needed anybody. And then it's like, oh, this guy? Ah.
You know what? We think he should just sit on the sidelines and watch.
It's really perfect, though, because if you remember down towards the end of the Wanstead era, they had, do you remember Bam Morris?
Bam.
So they let Bam go. I don't remember if Bam got hurt or Bam got cut.
We had to let Bam go.
And they had to activate James Allen from the practice squad, and he ran for 200 yards against the Ravens. And in the post-game press conference, writers were asking Wani, why didn't you ever play this guy? He's like, oh, let's not put this guy in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, so because you're such a thin-skinned prick, instead of talking about how this rookie running back just saved your ass in a game against the Ravens, you're going to just act like he sucks because you hadn't been playing.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good window into Dave Wanstead, who continues to haunt me by popping up on the radio and on post-game shows.
You will never get rid of him.
He is the... he's the avatar for coaching failure with the Bears. And it's perfect that he's now like looming over the end of the Nagy era. Cause it's the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is.
One lucky playoff appearance. Actually, Wani might have had two. Wani was actually a more successful coach than Nagy, but the end of it is this. We're reliving it. Wani should have been fired the year before he got fired. Should have gotten fired during the season in his last year. They wouldn't do it. And as we're living it out with Nagy right now, because it's what the Bears do. It's one of their great traditions. That tradition and the new tradition of if it's 3rd and 20, throw it to Cole Kmet 4 yards down the field. He caught 3 of those last night.
That's good. Well, you know, tradition means something to the Bears.
It does. That's all they've got left.
Yeah. And if it's 3rd and 20, we're throwing it less than 5 yards.
Not only we get to see Thomas Graham, first sixth rounder who hadn't played, we also got to see the great Daz Newsome.
Yes, fantastic.
And he made his presence felt on one key play, the first play he ever played in the NFL. Comes into the game, he lines up offside. Then the play starts. He runs into David Montgomery and helps knock the ball loose for David Montgomery's first fumble in over 300 carries. And the Vikings didn't notice it right away. The defensive players all do, and they all stand up with the ball. And, you know, they do it after every play that the ball, if they can get their hands on the ball, they act like they recovered it.
Right.
But because it took a while to sort out the penalty, Mike Zimmer or somebody told him, you should challenge this. He did.
Yeah.
And the Vikings got the ball. So thank you, Daz. Good job.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Later in the game, Ladarius Mack came in. He also lined up offsides and got called for that.
Which is great.
And it reminded me of when it used to be in the old basketball box scores. If you didn't get a point or a rebound or an assist, you wouldn't show up in the box score unless you fouled.
Right.
And we always had a joke that whenever a player came into the game and would foul somebody right away, it was, oh, I'm in the box score. As if it was proof to mom and dad that you played. I think that's what Ladarius and Daz were doing. Was
they
probably do nothing else. Let's just draw. We'll both draw a penalty, and then we'll be in the box score.
We'll prove we're on the team. Yeah. We really are on the team.
See, like I got that penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of penalties, I want to congratulate Tevin Jenkins for two things. The second quarter last night, first quarter of his NFL career, which he did not get called for holding. The third quarter, he got my favorite personal foul of the season.
Yeah.
In which the Vikings threw Justin Fields over the bench. Oh, it was legal because he was in bounds when they started throwing him over the bench. And Tevin basically ran over and just found a Viking to smack. In other words, all right, we've had enough of this shit. I've been watching this for 3 months. People taking cheap shots at our quarterback and the refs, because he's a rookie, not giving a shit. And this stuff's going to end right now. And what does Tevin get for his efforts? Gets chewed out on the field by Jermaine Ifedi.
Yeah.
And then gets a scholarly lecture from Matt Nagy on the sidelines.
What are those guys thinking? I mean, Tevin did exactly what you want him to do.
Now,
exactly.
I do think... Looking at it again, I think Ifedi thought Tevin was going to get thrown out for throwing a punch.
Oh.
I think that's what he thought. That's what I think he was yelling at him for that, which is you can't throw a punch. Jermaine's probably like, I suck at right tackle. If you get thrown, I'm going to have to go to left tackle for the rest of the night.
Right.
I wasn't even going to play again this year. The Bears were clearly just going to cut me when I got off IR, and I was going to go home and collect my check. And then everybody got fucking COVID. And then Jason Peters sprained his ankle. And so I have to play tonight. And if I'm going to play, rookie, you're going to finish. I'm going to give Jermaine credit for that. Because in the flurry of arms flying around, one of the Vikings kept pointing at Tevin Jenkins and showing a ref he threw a punch, which he didn't really. He just kind of shoved a guy.
Right,
I think maybe that was it. I loved Lewis Riddick's take on what Nagy was telling Justin, which was, young man, there's a time and a place for that. To which my reply was, yes, now is the time, and this is the place.
Yeah, this is it perfectly right here. Yeah.
It didn't do any. Yeah. People were like, oh, no, it's going to, you know, they could have scored on that drive. Oh, could they have? That was the one they were going to score on?
Well, and the only other thing I might say if that is what Jermaine's message was, that's great. Maybe he could have been next to him in the pot, you know, in the melee.
Yeah, Tevin is alone. He's the only one.
It's him and 48 Vikings surrounding him.
There was somebody had a cut up after the Browns game where Fields got hit on every play at how few times his offensive lineman even bothered to try to help him up. And almost every time it was somebody, it was Jason Peters. Like, the other four guys are just like, because so overwhelmed by everything. They're like, fine, he's young. He can crawl. He'll get back to the huddle somehow.
Right. It was quite a display. Every week we basically the same thing we talk about. And I'm jealous of other fans of other NFL teams who can apparently watch their team play without worrying about getting a brain aneurysm. But it's every single game is just exhausting to watch because you're like, what is that?
Well, it was quite a doubleheader last night. Started with the Browns and Raiders.
Yeah.
Where the Browns thought they had this miraculous win with a backup quarterback who wasn't even on the team until this week, Nick Mullins, threw a touchdown pass with 3 minutes to go to give them the lead. And then because they're the Browns, they lose on a last-second field goal. And then the Bears, who just went out and just shit their pants for 3.5 hours on national TV again. That's a pretty good window into those two fan bases.
Yeah.
How we just know we're going to get humiliated. How is it going to happen?
How bad is it going to be? Yeah. The only thing exciting was at the end of the game, you know, was the touchdown and no extra point gets attempted. Yep. So that.
Now, see, I, in anticipation of, as the COVID list was piling up, I bet the game on like Friday. Okay. And I got it two places. I got Vikings -6, Vikings -5.5.
Oh, so you're good.
So I was good. The longer you waited, the higher the spread got because the Bears were adding more and more guys to the list. But you could see it coming. So I even remarked that, you know, if you ended up with eight or higher, you did your shopping too late.
That's
you
it.
You deserve it. You deserve to lose your money.
Right.
I mean, did you think it was going to go the other way?
Right.
So.
Somebody should have bet the game earlier.
I mean, that's the one salvation of the Bears this year. They're pretty easy to bet against. They come through all the time. Like the Packers, I teased Packers -9 and Eagles -6.5 down to Packers 3.5, Eagles 0.5. Thinking, it's the Packers. They've only not covered, I think, once all year. They don't cover. Pete's already dead before even gets Tuesday. But if you just bet on the Packers to cover and the Bears not to this year, you did pretty well.
Yeah.
You were buying Christmas presents with money that you didn't have to, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't do that. Because, maybe they'll win this week. I don't think I bet on them a single time. Maybe early. I may bet again on them. I just would pick games where I knew they were gonna get blown out, and
just most of them,
yeah. And that way, I could stomach the loss a little better. At least Nagy's incompetence was paying off in one way. Speaking of Nagy's incompetence, we're both. I don't know. He had like those windbreaker pants on because it was cold, so he could just whiz all night. He didn't, you know,
and nobody's gonna know, right?
So it's incredible. We're back to the, is Justin Fields any good conversations on Chicago Sports Radio.
So stupid.
And his numbers last night looked good. It was like 26 to 39 for 285 yards and a touchdown, something like that. And there were some bad plays. And so those are the ones that the people who've just decided, I think it's just a reflex with a lot of Bear fans. Like, okay, I'm not even going to get my hopes up. He sucks just like every other quarterback we've ever had. And I'll just be fine with that. And I'm going to get on the bandwagon early and criticize him. It was just like the Cub fans in 2016 who remember when they had the losing streak before the All-Star break? Like, they started 25-6. They basically clinched a playoff spot in April.
Right.
And they went through this. They weren't playing well at all. But it's like, you know, it happens to everybody. And there were guys jumping off the bandwagon faster than they possibly could. It was a race to see who could give up on them first.
Yeah.
Well, we're the same thing right now with Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm. Which really doesn't make any sense.
I mean, there are some troubling things. Like, he is – so I learned a great stat over the weekend, which was Darius Leonard of the Colts had an interception against the Patriots. His combined interceptions and fumbles this year are 11. He has 11 takeaways himself. The Bears' defense going into last night's game also had 11.
Terrific.
Congratulations to the Bears. They got an interception, so they're now ahead of Darius Leonard. Justin Fields fumbled for the 12th time last night. Now, he's only lost 6. He recovers every other one. That's not great. However, this people are like, oh, you know, it's terrible ball security. in my memory, there were he had one other fumble like last night where he's running the ball, running with the ball and gets hit and fumbles. The other ones are all he's standing in the pocket being besieged.
Right. Right.
He has no chance.
He has zero chance.
In fact, one of the things he's good at is when the ball gets stripped from him is crawling around under all the bodies and getting the ball.
Yeah.
In fact, there's like one early, I think maybe in the Bengals game, where all you saw was his arm like emerge from a pile and grab the ball and just pull it. The ball's laying there all by itself, and all of a sudden his arm pops out and he gets it back. So that's not good. And then, like, he was, at one point, he was 10 of 11 passing. And Steve Levy had just said he missed his first pass. He's now completed 10 in a row. And then he throws a pass to Dave Montgomery that is like 8 yards away from Dave Montgomery. And they're like, you know, he gave him the whammy.
Yanked him. Yeah.
But I think it was Greasy who picked up on it. And he's like, Montgomery didn't run that route right. Like, right. That's an out. And he drifted to the sidelines, fields through it where he was supposed to be.
Yeah.
But you get all the meatballs who are like, oh, see, sucks. It's like, yes, it's. But by far, to me, the biggest problem that he suffers from, and it was completely evident last night, is there is no sense to this offense at all. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to get anybody in a rhythm. It's not just Fields. And they pointed out on the broadcast last night, too, David Montgomery will have a good run and then immediately be taken out.
Right.
And then they have to, because they have to give the fuck up all to Jakeem Grant on a sweep.
Right.
And then when Jakeem Grant goes out, they have to put Daz Newsome in the backfield, or then it's Demir Byrd. It's like, okay, you bitch about how, well, you know, it'd be nice to be able to get Khalil Herbert some carries, but we can't. Well, you can't.
There's a good way. Yeah, there's a good opportunity.
How about he plays in the backfield with Montgomery on those plays instead of a fucking wide receiver for no reason?
Yeah.
So they do weird stuff like that, but they also, I've been harping on it ever since Nagy got here about plays clearly aren't meant to set up a different variation of that play later on. Mm-hmm. It's almost like Nagy has a checklist, not a play sheet. So like he'll call a play and something will break down because it's the Bears. The protection will break down, whatever. And you're like, oh, well, that play would have worked if this had happened. A normal team goes back to that later. Like on the sidelines, they correct it. Like, do this. We're going to get back to that play. The Bears, no, he's crossed that play off. We're not running that one again. Right. Nope, that one didn't work. And so for people who are like, well, you know, it's like, I can't imagine what it's like to be Justin Fields and be in that huddle and just have these random fucking plays come in. And you're like, okay, now what are we, why are we running this now?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's not like, I mean, I know Hub thinks that, you know, they'd be playoff bound with Andy Dalton. It wasn't any different with him.
No.
This shit was still completely disjointed. And that's by far their biggest problem. There is no offensive strategy. There is none. There isn't, you know, we talk about it all the time. Like it happens to the Bears. It never happens for the Bears. Clearly last night, early on in the game, the Vikings were like, all right, if they're going to put Thomas Graham Jr. on Justin Jefferson, we're just going to fucking throw the ball to Justin Jefferson on every play.
Right.
And it worked for the first quarter, and then Thomas Graham kind of got his shit together, and it didn't really work after that.
Yeah.
Do you remember the last 3 years, the Bears going into a game and just picking on somebody on defense?
Never.
No.
Never. Never. You never hear that. You never see that. You never hear it. You never be like, Bears are really smart going to this guy over and over again. Never. Bears are taking advantage of this weakness that this team has. Never.
Yeah. But then you'll see it like they went – in the fourth quarter, they went up-tempo, and Fields just completion, right on the field. Now, part of it is, obviously, the Vikings have kind of backed off.
Yeah.
They just didn't want the Bears to be able to score quickly. Get on, say, kick, and then have another shot at it. So they played a little back farther. But it's still, everything was just crisper.
Yeah.
And they don't really do that. I'm not saying they can't really go no huddle for stretches in the game because their offense is so bad. All it would do is your possession would be 18 seconds long.
Right.
And then the defense would be back on the field. But there are times, there are a lot of teams that'll just out of nowhere rush a second play. Just mm-hmm. completely change the tempo during a series. Where the defense is used to the, okay, we get the complete play, we go back to the huddle, blah, 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 blah. All of a sudden, you're just going to run two plays in a row. And see if we can catch somebody. The Bears never do that.
No.
And if they did, they'd line up wrong and have to call timeout.
Yeah. The Bears have done, they've done nothing to help Justin Fields as an offensive play calling system, as an offensive, they've done nothing to help him. Their receivers do nothing to help him. I mean, it's ridiculous how many times, you know, these receivers just cannot catch the balls that are thrown right at them. I mean, Jimmy Graham in the end zone.
Yep.
Catch the fucking ball, Jimmy. Just catch it.
It's literally the only thing he's good at.
Yeah.
And he didn't do it.
You know, and that play to Mooney. I mean, that was a tough one, yeah, but probably was a touchdown, except for maybe the ball was kind of moving around at the end. But they just, their receivers just never help out. They just never seem to help them out. And then they throw to Bird for some reason.
Yeah.
That's never a good idea.
Nope.
And that's because they don't, you know, they're so thin at that position now.
Yeah, they're thin there, but he was one of their big off-season acquisitions.
Yeah,
worked out great. Jameer Bird is not a guy they picked up off waivers. They signed him in, like, April.
Yeah.
Like, he was part of the plan to get faster. Well, he's fast. It doesn't do you any good when the ball clangs off of him, either on a punt or on a fourth and four in the red zone. So, our buddy Hub watched the Ravens and Packers game.
Uh-huh.
I guarantee you, Hub, even though he supposedly publishes a professional football magazine that I don't know that anyone has read in 20 years or subscribes to, you know, he doesn't have like the football package. So he's just watching it because it was the game that was on Channel 2. And the game ends. And he goes on and on about how Tyler Huntley is so much better than Justin Fields because he sat for a year and a half behind Lamar Jackson. There's so much wrong with that.
Everything, yeah.
First of all, the reason the Ravens went out and got a guy like Tyler Huntley is so that when Lamar Jackson got hurt, they could run the same offense.
Right.
Because when they used to have Joe Flacco as the backup, you can't run anything that Lamar can run with Joe. Could. It would be hilarious. It'd be like trying to teach a giraffe how to swim. And then the other thing that Hub was lost on Hub, apparently, was the Ravens actually call plays that are designed for the skill set of the quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, specifically. Like, there's even a difference in the plays they run for Huntley than the ones they run for Lamar, even though they're somewhat similar.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears don't do any of that.
No, and that's because the Ravens also have something that the Bears do not have, which is a good, competent coaching staff.
Yes.
And they have a better roster.
But to Hub, the only difference is Tyler sat.
Right.
Yeah, he sat because he plays behind a league MVP.
Yeah, that's
why he sat. Not because do you think he would have sat behind Andy Dalton?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, no. And Lamar played as a rookie. In fact, he took the Ravens to the playoffs as a rookie.
Right.
So everything about Hub's argument was wrong. But other than that, he made a great point.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's 3 weeks to go. The death march continues.
This is the slowest season of all time. This season just won't end. How could we have three more weeks? That's almost a quarter of a football season. I mean, it was almost, you know, we were at 16 games, you know, four games is 25% of your season. We got three remaining. This death march.
But there were a bunch of people at the game last night going, all right, after this embarrassment, George's got to do something. It's like, guys, that ship that ship has sailed. I would love it as much as you guys would, but it's not happening.
Okay, so Chris, this is Christmas weekend. This is the weekend, right? That you can start interviewing new.
Well, no, they could. it would be after, they can't do it till after the next game.
Okay. So,
so in theory, they should fire him on next Monday.
Okay. So right around Christmas. So it's okay. So that would
but they could do it now, obviously. If you want to just let him enjoy Christmas with his family, you have an interim coach, and then starting the next week, you can start interviewing.
Let's unpack that for a second because, okay, they're playing in Seattle Sunday. So that means I presume they're going to leave Saturday mid-afternoon, early afternoon to fly out there.
Yeah, you have to be there the day the night. You have to be there the day before. The NFL won't let you fly. Of course, and you can't fly to Seattle the day of the game.
No, right.
Although I can see the Bears trying that. Guys, we're going to put our pads on the plane.
We're going to save on hotel costs.
It's a late game. It's not till a 3 o'clock our time.
Right.
So we'll get there. And then,
So this is Christmas Day. They're going to be traveling. So they got to have a big team Christmas dinner, aren't they? At the Hard Rock Nirvana or something out there. Aren't they going to have you would think they're going to have a big team.
Do you think that's where the Bears have, if there's a Denny's? That's where they're eating.
Well, so let's imagine this Christmas dinner. Is George sitting at the head of the table with the Santa hat on? And is he passing out, you know, stockings with coal in them to Ryan and Matt? How is this working? This is going to be the most awkward team Christmas dinner of all time. Everybody knows that their coach is gone at some point. They probably all figure that Pace is not going to be, he's going to be gone, or at least he's not going to be their general manager next year. Somebody else is. And they're sitting there on Christmas Day in Seattle. It's going to be 40 degrees and raining probably. Last place they'd probably all rather be at Christmas Day. They'd rather be at home with their families. And here they are with George in a Santa suit sitting around having dinner before this meaningless game they play the following day. That sounds great.
Yeah. So I didn't know this until the game because I was thinking about it. Okay, so you know the assumption is Chris Tabor would be the interim coach if you fired Nagy. Although it really doesn't make sense to make your – it supposedly makes sense in the short term, like a one-week deal, to have your special teams coach be the head coach because they're the only coach other than the head coach who, like, have to coach the whole team.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense. The problem that if you make them the interim is special teams coordinator is a really demanding, time-intensive job because you've got because you're juggling so much personnel that they're really not well-suited to take over – for the rest of the year, because now you've just doubled their workload for the rest of the season.
Right.
Now, I guess, you know, they did actually block a punt for the first time in 6 years with the backup special teams coordinators. Maybe that would work. But
yeah,
I didn't know this till last night, because we knew that if Sean Desai didn't get off COVID protocol, Mike Pettine was going to call the defenses. But apparently right before Desai tested out of protocols, Pettine tested into them. So then Deshae Townsend, the defensive back coach, was going to have to call the plays, and they were going to have, because both those guys would have been out. So that probably factors into it somehow too, which is like, do we want to juggle the fucking coaching staff the last week? And we're already juggling it as it is.
Yeah. But like Cap said, I mean, you kind of owe it to put Nagy out of his misery.
Yeah.
And you certainly owe it to the fan base to put us out of our misery. Because, you know, we're all assuming that Nagy and Pacer are gone, but we don't know it. I mean, and this franchise has certainly done stupider, well, and I don't know about stupider things. They've certainly done a lot of stupid things. I mean, there's a 1% chance that they're coming back, but it's still a 1% chance.
Yeah, I think there's a 1% chance that Nagy's coming back. I think it's like a 35% chance that Pace is coming back.
In his current role, or just stay with the team and be director of pro personnel?
Well, but that doesn't mean... No, he's not going to... The GM will not take a demotion.
Because you keep reading about how George...
You're going to fire him, is what you're
going to reading how George wants to keep him in the organization somehow.
Yeah, the only way he's... I think the... It's dangerous. You have to think like George.
Yeah. But I understand that.
I mean, he doesn't want, we've talked about this. He doesn't want to be the one who hired. He didn't want to do any hiring.
Right.
He just wants to be like, all right, go hire a new coach. That's fine. There's no defensible way to keep Pace. But I think the way that it is, if they went on and hired a football president, then that guy makes the decision on Pace. Mm-hmm. And he may be like, you know what? I'm going to be the one making the final decisions. So he could stay.
He could be in his...
Because I'll be like, no, we're not fucking doing that. Okay. And I can stop. I need somebody to do the day-to-day work, so it might as well be him.
So in this scenario, Pace keeps his GM title, but he's essentially rendered meaningless. He's now
reporting... Instead of reporting to... But in theory, he's just reporting to a different person. He reports to Ted. He'd just be reporting to a different president.
Yeah, but this president would actually control the football team and the roster and the moves and the coaching decisions and all that.
But
where like, Ted theoretically does not.
Like somebody said, for they like to say that Ted doesn't meddle in football operations. Right. But he apparently meets with Brian every week. So what are they doing? And the other thing is, he is meddling in football operations by leaving Ryan in place.
Just by the fact that he's there, he's meddling in it. And you know that the John Fox hire was, had Phillips' hands all over it.
Yeah.
And, I'm sure, hey, Ryan, look, it's your call, man. Wow. We have total faith in you. I just kind of think, you're the young guy. He's an old coach, kind of like that mix of old and new and experience and youth. And, that's who I would go with, maybe. And then what's he supposed to say? Okay. He's 37 years old at that point, or however old he is.
So I think, at least in the whatever the modern era is, because I don't remember who filled in for Halas when he hopped on the Navy cruiser for the year. Fox was the only Bears head coach to have ever had prior head coaching experience. Is that right?
It's in the NFL.
In the NFL.
That sounds right.
Because I don't think Jack Pardee did. I don't think Neil Armstrong did. We know Ditka didn't.
Right.
Wani didn't. Dick Juron didn't. Lovey didn't. Trestman didn't. Fox did. Nagy didn't. And that, I think, was basically Ernie Accorsi basically convinced the Bears, if you're going to hire a GM who's never been a GM before, you ought to hire a coach who's been a coach before. And this guy's coached in 2 Super Bowls. And lost them both. And one of them dramatically by lots of points. I think the Seahawks are still celebrating. So I think it was just easy. Ted could easily be led around the nose by Ernie.
Sure.
This is what you need to do. This plan. Well, that sounds good to me. All right, let's do that. Harumph, harumph, harumph. I didn't get a harumph.
Right, right. Give the governor a harumph. You watch your ass.
But isn't it amazing that the oldest franchise in football history has only ever hired one coach who'd ever fucking coached a football team before?
Yeah, that's like if you were writing that in a script, no one would believe that.
And you can't even use the proviso. Well, yeah, but George Halas coached the team for half of its life. Yeah, well, it's been there's 60 seasons now he didn't coach.
Yeah,
60.
There's been opportunity.
So you've had plenty of chances to hire guys who'd coached before.
Well, and they're probably not going to hire whoever their next guy is probably is going to be the same thing. Because they're not going to go hire the little man in Green Bay, even though that would be great. Just be
wouldn't it just be the typical Bear thing? He shows up, and it turns out what I kind of suspect that you or I could probably coach Aaron Rodgers to 13 wins.
Right. But they're not going to get Sean McVay. I mean, they're just not.
Well, no,
they should be able to get whoever they want.
Teams very. I can't even remember. When was the last time a team hired an active coach? The guys you're looking for are guys who coached who aren't currently head coaches. Because it's not.
Yeah, but,
you just don't see it.
You don't, but the Bears are.
Bob Melvin wandering across, just basically telling the A's, all right, I'm just fucking tired of this. I'm going to go coach the Padres. Right. It doesn't happen in the NFL.
My point is the Bears should be able to get whoever the hell they want.
Yeah, of really available coaches. I think it's a wasted to think about coaches who are currently coaching another NFL team. They're not going to change teams. I mean, there may be somebody who gets launched the day after the season ends that you're like, oh, I didn't know. Why did somebody fire him? That may be a guy you add to your list.
But I hear you that it doesn't ever happen. But there's no. It happens in baseball. It happens in other sports. It could happen.
There's a lot of stuff that doesn't happen in football that happens in other sports. I mean, they act like there's no, football people think their sport is so complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the reason why there's more than there used to be, but there still aren't that many in-season coaching firings. And that's the reason. Like, oh, no, no, no. And whenever they do, then you never see a team, like in baseball, a team will hire its next manager during the season. Like the guy they intend to be the coach for the next however long. That never happens in the NFL. They're like, all right, fine. I guess this guy can finish out the year, and then we'll find somebody. Because it's just, it's way too complicated to bring in a coach with a different system during the season. It's like, is it really? It's not. Right. Your sport is not that, you know, special.
So then if you're looking for a someone who has NFL head coaching experience, it's got to be somebody who is fired then. And that's...
Well, I mean, there's two pretty good candidates out there, I think. Urban Meyer and John Gruden. How'd you like to have Vag? Try to sell that to Vag. Now, wait a minute. What? Is it, now, one guy is the guy who wrote naughty things in his electronic mails. And the other guy is the one who kicked his kicker?
Yeah. These are our choices?
Yeah. We're not doing those things. I mean, it's funny that we talk about how, you know, when Mike Florio throws out the, well, NFL should expand to 40 teams in the next X amount of years, and everybody's like, oh, there's not enough quarterbacks for that. You know what there isn't enough of? There's not enough head coaches.
Yeah, well, clearly. Well, but
you're right. They're going to end up with somebody who most likely has never coached before in the NFL. I've never been a head coach. NFL.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be a coordinator or Ryan Day.
Unless, now this is funny. I don't remember if this is the podcast we joked about. My favorite Lions coach of all time is still Jim Caldwell. The man who always looked like he was waiting for a bus. But if you look at his record with the Lions, he was like 11-5, 9-7, 7-9, 9-7. With the Lions.
That's pretty impressive.
He got fired after having a winning season with the Lions.
Yeah. It's nearly impossible to do.
Now, what you get when you get Jim Caldwell is you get a guy who's just going to run your team. And he needs to be paired with an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator.
And that's fine.
And he's just going to let them do their shit, and he's going to make final decisions. And mostly he's going to just professionalize your entire operation. And he's going to be the dullest possible person in every press conference. He's one of those guys who, hey, while he's standing there listening to the question, you're tempted to just stick the mirror up under his nose to see if he's fogging it. Is he dead? No, he's okay. Oh, he's talking now. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought this was funny. So, I think it was John Greenberg who wrote it. Sounds like Lewis Riddick. Oh, he said, sounds like Brian Griese is auditioning to be the Bears GM during the telecast. And I was thinking, no, I think Lewis Riddick is.
Yeah.
I think he'd be a pretty good choice.
Yeah.
Like if you woke up tomorrow and the Bears had hired Lewis Riddick to run your football operation, you'd be like, I think they might have done pretty well.
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe they should have just told him to stick around. You might want to stay in town tomorrow.
Yeah.
Have you had your booster? Because Vag wants to talk to you. You know, that's the, I don't know who floated the, it was Pompey, right? The Tony Dungy to run your football operation to be come in and be the president.
I think he did.
And then, you know, if you hire the Dunge, you get Jim Caldwell. It just comes with. I don't know. I mean, I just, Tony seems like a very nice man. He was a successful head coach. But nothing about him talking about football on TV has ever made me go, whoa, now that's a guy that I want charge of everything. It's like, and it doesn't help that he looks like the Crypt Keeper from, what was that HBO show?
Tales from the Crypt.
Tales from the Crypt, yes. Yeah. Or whatever. I don't know. To me, that's the most troubling thing, right? Is that the Bears clearly haven't even floated president or new GM possibilities. Most teams right about now would be floating some names to see what the reaction is.
Right, right. Well, that's another difference between football and baseball, right? We've talked about this before. There is no football Theo that we know of. There's no guy out there who you're like, this is a guy. This is a guy who's out there that we can get. At least to us. Now, maybe now, in the industry, they do know of guys like that.
Okay, but actually, make a good point, because while you never see an active coach, I should say never. And Chuck Knox do it, and he ditched the Rams for the Seahawks. I don't remember how that worked, but you'd very rarely, I would say, ever see a coach leave a team just to go to another team. You do see front office guys do it. Mm-hmm. That's where you can poach somebody.
Right.
You give him a phony baloney. Like, you pick the guy who you think is the best general manager and you make him the president. And the other team can't stop you. If he wants the job, he's going.
Right.
That's really what they should be focused on right now. If they were, I'm going to say it again, if I had a dollar every time I said, if they were a real organization, this week's announcement wouldn't be the Nagy firing. This would be the week they would announce the new president of football operations.
Mm-hmm.
And then he makes the decision either launch Nagy after the game next week or before. Don't maybe make him go to Seattle. And he starts the search. And he also tells Ryan Pace, hit the bricks.
Yeah, that is the right order. The right order is hire a president of football operations, even though it would be so satisfying. And we all know it's a foregone conclusion that Nagy's not going to be coaching this team next year. It is the wrong order. And I hate to say it, because this is going to delay the process, because they it seems like they're nowhere near close to even thinking about a president of football operations. So they're either going to wait to actually do that, which is going to take a month at least, or, and if they're doing that, that means that Pace and Nagy are going to be in place this entire time because they're waiting to fill the president position. Or they're going to fire Nagy, which we all know they're going to do anyway, but they're going to have no president of football operations to replace, you know, the front office and the coaching staff. Well, either option just sounds ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you what I would do if they, and I, you know, I got my phone ready just in case. If I got the call and they want to hire me as the president of football operations today, I can tell you what I would do. Okay. So I'd immediately say, we're having the press conference today. George, you're going to announce me today before you change your fucking mind. And at the press conference, I would have Matt and Ryan sitting up front.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say a few nice things about both of them. And then I would fire them during the press conference. I'd be like, all right, I know both you. Ryan, I know that you, if you get wind of the fact you're fired, you're going to call fucking Tony Romo within 30 seconds. And somebody at CBS is going to break the story. Right. And we know that anytime there's anything in the fucking... Anytime Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport has any inside information about the Bears, it's right from Nagy. We know it's him. He picks up the phone and calls him. So in order to not get scooped at my own press conference, I'm just going to fire you during the press conference. Now feel free to call whoever the fuck you want, because it was just live on ESPN and NFL Network, and you're both fired.
So you go all Alexander Haig on him. You'd be like, I'm in control here.
I would, except I would actually be in control, unlike Alexander Haig, who didn't understand the way that the succession policy works in the Constitution.
Yeah.
So now that to me would be the most satisfying thing if Bear fan would have since the Super Bowl 20. Can you imagine sitting at home watching a press conference and the new guy comes in and fires those two live on TV?
It would be a signal, that's for sure.
I would need a cigarette. So make it happen, George.
Yeah.
Isn't there another McCaskey, like Shemp? There's got to be another McCaskey brother.
Roman.
Because that's the thing we never talk about, is who takes over after George. Because as we found out last week, he's 77 years old.
Yeah.
And he doesn't look 77, but he's 77. Of course, I knew when I was thinking about it, I'm like, of course he's old. Mom is 98. And I think George is the second or third oldest, because Mike was the oldest.
Right.
And I don't know if there's a daughter between or if it went Mike to George.
I do not know the succession.
But we don't know who's chairman after him. And why does the chairman have to be a fucking McCaskey?
Yeah, they could just own the team.
And what are they the chairman of? I always said they were the chairman of the board, but then when you read it, they're not. It's just the chairman. A board.
Yeah.
Because they meet quarterly. And they were in town. The day the rumors flew about Nagy getting fired,
mm-hmm.
part of this is only the Bears. This would only happen to the Bears. Part of the reason why the Bears couldn't issue a statement was because they were in a board meeting. That's the easiest time in the world to craft a statement. Everybody's in the same room, or at least
everybody's
on the same
there.
Zoom.
Right.
It's like, everybody's here. Typically, the problem with big organizations is they're like, oh, shit, we got to get the sign-up from this guy, and we got to get sign-up from her, we got to get sign-up from this guy. How are we going to get it? They're literally all, you're looking at all of them, right, at the moment.
Yeah.
That should have been the easiest thing for them to go, we need to get out a quick one-liner that we haven't fired him, and we haven't made a decision, and it'll squelch this.
Right.
But instead, they're like, oh, what are we going to do? I don't know what to do. Nothing we can do. It's like, what do you mean there's nothing you can do?
We can't respond to every rumor. There's no nuance with this organization. There's nothing nimble about them. There's nothing to go, yeah, that's probably a good policy in general, but not in this case. We have to be a little bit smart sometimes. Really, a little bit smart to issue the one-line denial.
So, on the post-game, I got to tell you, the NBC Sports in Chicago post-game without Olin, because I don't know where he was last night. I don't know if he was gone or has COVID or whatever. Man, it's a much different show. And it's not nearly as good. Without
Wani.
We got Wani. Because if you get a primetime game, you get Wani. Because he's not flying back from L.A. So he's there to annoy me, mostly.
Yeah.
So they got it. I even tweeted. I was tweeting questions to Cap to ask Wani. He didn't use any of mine. But Wani was... Basically, it's when Cap was talking about how Nagy, if you look at him on the sidelines, he looks like a man who needs to be fired.
Yeah.
He's variation of either crazed and throwing his arms in the air, or he looks like somebody just ran over his dog. It's one or the other. It just fluctuates wildly between one or the other. He's clearly not well.
Right.
And Wani was like, you can't. I sent him, I said, ask Wani why he didn't get fired during the 97 or 98 seasons, and ask him if he wished he had been. I really would have liked to have heard that. Wani could just say, well, of course not. Because I have a feeling, I'm sure during the 98 season, there were days when if he had woken up and got a call that said, come on in, you're getting canned, he would have been relieved.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the point Cap was trying to get to.
Right.
But one of the things Wani said that was depressingly true, because he's basically saying they're not going to fire him right now. They're not. And
right,
Cap's like, why? And he goes, because they're not ready to. They don't know what to do next.
Right.
They don't have a plan. They don't know whether they're going to hire a president or whether they're going to keep pace or whatever. And as ridiculous as it seems, considering they should have been thinking about this since that press conference a year ago when they didn't fire them, they haven't.
He's right. Wani's right. He is absolutely
And he knows
right.
he lived it.
Yeah,
he knows what they're like. He's an idiot. But he lived through it, and that's the depressing thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it's tiresome to hear the why it won't even matter when they fire Nagy, because they don't. It's the same assholes doing the hiring, and there's a lot of truth to
it. Right.
But that argument gets irritating to me when the person making it is like, they might as well just keep him.
Right.
It's like, no.
No, you don't want to do that.
I mean, we know this doesn't work. There's at least a chance that they'll blunder into the right decision.
Blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then. So, yeah, there's a chance they could stumble into a good coach somehow. Well, you read there was a really great article in the Tribune. Fencek was quoted, you know.
I like that they initially introduced him as Gary from Lake Forest.
Yeah. What about Gary from Lincoln Park as the president of football operations?
People have been talking about that since like 1987, from like the day he retired. He's a super smart guy. For a guy who hit everybody with his head for 12 years, he does not seem to have brain damage.
Yale and Northwestern graduate, that's pretty good. Knows the organization, obviously.
I mean, you're really not asking for that much. I mean, the president can have as big a role or as little a role as he wants to have. What you really want is someone who's going to run the organization professionally and who's going to know enough to know how to hold the coach and the general manager accountable for their decisions. And and when Ryan Pace runs into the office and says, we're going to trade up and we're going to draft this Mitch Trubisky, and he says, well, what does John Fox think about it? And he says, I haven't talked to him about it. And you're like, Okay,
Ryan,
get
out of my office
then
and go talk.
One of the two of you or both of you need to be fired.
Yeah.
But if you don't trust him enough to run your number one draft pick by him, then why is he still your coach?
Right.
That would have saved us a lot. It's funny when somebody brought that up. And they said if the Bears had done that, which it was very clear that Pace was done with Fox a year before he fired him, when he literally didn't tell him who he was going to pick. Hands him a first-round quarterback.
He never wanted him.
Two of the coaches hired in that offseason were Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan.
Oof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the Bears, in theory, could have moved on from Fox to either one of those guys, basically then said to them, all right, which of these three quarterbacks do you want?
Right.
Although, clearly, Pace wouldn't want to do that. He already made up his mind.
It
was Mitch. Got to be Mitch. Mitch.
That used Camry.
James McMahon. Oh, he's so clever. Jesus.
Yeah. Well, that was, Pace was never, in fairness to him, he was never prepared for this job. I think clearly what happened is the Bears looked across town. They looked up to the north side and said, look what the Cubs did with Theo. That was pretty good. Why don't we just get a young guy?
Yep.
I'm like, well, there's a lot wrong with that. First of all, Pace ain't Theo. Secondly, Theo's already won multiple World Series. He was a fully formed, executive by the time the Cubs hired him. And yeah, he wasn't when he was 28 or whatever when he got his first job. But there was nobody within the building, and this is pointed out, to guide Pace. Right. And Pace was – he was director of pro player personnel with the Saints. That's it. And somehow they thought he could take over arguably the most iconic franchise in NFL history with essentially no guidance at the age of 37, just because, he's young and smart and look what the Cubs did with Theo. This got to work for us. No, it was a terrible decision.
Well, and then he brought over two guys with him who are still his right-hand men. And they were, they're just as young as he is.
Right.
And it seemed like they learned the wrong lessons from the success of the Saints, where the Saints for years, once they got Drew Brees and Sean Payton or Kevin James, I forget which one it is. they had built, they had their franchise quarterback. They had an offensive mastermind at head coach, and they traded draft picks willy-nilly to get guys, and they signed free agents, and they didn't worry about the salary cap.
Right.
And that's how Pace has operated the entire time he's been with the Bears. The problem is he didn't have a core to build around.
Right.
You have to build that first. It's just like we talk about with the Rams, where the Rams are like, well, because the Rams hate draft picks and blah, blah, blah. Well, it turns out they're just willing to trade their first and second round picks, which, because they're good, are going to be 28 to 32.
Mm-hmm.
To get impact players, but they hoard middle round picks because that's where they're going to get their depth.
Right.
Pace doesn't do any of that. He'll just trade any of them. Just throw them out the window.
And by the way, that depth is going to be a lot cheaper than your first and second round picks as those guys age.
Yes.
Those guys gain experience.
Right.
They're going
to
be a lot cheaper.
And you need to do it because if you're going to bring in Jalen Ramsey or you're going to bring in, or you're going to extend Aaron Donald or whatever, and you're going to pay those guys a lot of money, then it's impossible to manage your salary cap with there's nothing worse than having to pay pretty good but not great late round first rounders. They come with a big tag. If you want to keep them for fifth year, you have to give them a lot of money. So it makes more sense to have traded those picks for actual impact players and then backfill with others. But the Bears aren't doing any of that.
No.
So then there's a whole idea of how attractive is the job? And you've got a quarterback who, other than, Chicago sports radio hosts, guys, people seem to think it's still pretty good.
Right.
You never had that to sell before. Maybe with Jay.
Right.
And you've got, a core that's not all that good. We went through all this stuff, but the salary cap is the part that everybody freaks out about.
Right.
Oh, Ryan Pace has fucked up the salary cap. But in reality, the Bears' salary cap situation isn't any worse than anybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
Where they got screwed was where other teams got screwed was the salary cap didn't go up last year. They had projected it was going to go up like normal, and it didn't, and they were screwed, and that's why. And then they just made, every team had to make tough decisions. The Bears just made the wrong ones. You know, they kept Jimmy Graham for no reason. They kept Akeem Hicks, knowing that Akeem hasn't played more than like six games in however long. So you pay him a bunch of money, and oh, what a shock, he misses a bunch of games.
Right.
Next year, the salary cap goes up twice as much as it normally would. It's basically reset itself back to normal. And so every team's going to have room under the cap. Plus, the Bears, because so many of Pace's wonderful acquisitions have bombed, can get out of a lot of contracts. Somebody who comes in who's not wedded to these guys that Pace is going to be can immediately discharge a whole shitload of salary.
Right.
So they're really salary cap, they're not in that, they're not in bad shape. It's stupid for him to have like spread Jimmy's number, you know, he sprinkled little amounts of money on the cap again for no reason.
Yeah.
Well, it's all right, we'll redo Jimmy Graham's contract and we'll shove some of his to next year. Why?
Right.
That's more of an annoyance than a hindrance.
Right, right.
So it's not that bad. But the biggest downfall is that who are you reporting to? And how bad do they really want to win?
Right. Right.
So, there's your sunny capper to another wonderful discussion about our Bears.
Yeah. It will be nice when, theoretically, there's a new front office team and a new head coach, and there's like some excitement around the team again to talk about it. But
oof. Yeah, we know that lasts about a year and a half.
Yeah, well, hey. We'll take it.
Yep. I mean, the 2018 season was fun.
Yeah.
We didn't realize it was as good as it was going to get. That was supposed to be the launch point.
Right.
It was. And the whole thing blew up on the pad. Right about the time Cody Parkey hit two of the three parts of the uprights at the goalpost.
Yeah. It died on the vine.
Yeah, for one of the columns last week, I found an angle I'd never seen before of the double doink from the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
It's somehow even more painful because when it hits the upright, it looks like it's going to go in. And then it somehow drops and then hits the crossbar and goes the wrong way. And the crowd even kind of goes, they're all excited. You hear a couple of hecklers because they're Bear fans, like, oh, he's going to miss it. And then it hit, everybody gets excited, and then it hits the upright. I'd be like, oh, but then there's this sense of, oh, it's going to bounce in. You get this weird, and then the best is the mascot falls flat on his face. I'd forgotten. I remember that at the time, but I'd forgotten it for a long time, that Staley just went and laid there forever.
Talk about a visual representation of the Bears organization. That should be the avatar right there, Staley falling flat on his face.
All right, so they're off to Seattle. I don't even know what the spread is. I'm just assuming it's Seahawks by 30.
30 is, you know,
those
right.
Seahawks are bad.
Yeah.
I would think there's very little chance the Bears win this game just because they never play well out there anyway, even when they're not awful and they're a dumpster fire right now. The real test comes in 2 weeks when they play the Giants. The Maras and the McCaskies could sit around and lament their fates.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was somebody was bitching. Oh, it was a Giant writer was bragging about how, the Giants have the Bears pick and their own pick, and they're both going to be really. And I pointed out the fact, it's like, yeah, well, you know what? The Bears use that pick to get Justin Fields, and you still need a fucking quarterback, and you pushed it to a year in which there aren't any. So congratulations, go draft one of them, see how it works out for you.
Yeah,
you're going to draft Daniel Jones 2.0. Have fun with that. Of all the stuff, that really was of all the Ryan Pace trade ups, this was the only one that has made sense so far.
Oh yeah.
Like anybody does. Any GM jumps at the chance to do that.
Right.
But it is funny to look at teams like the Broncos, who, if they had a quarterback, would be really good. Like Vic has really done a nice job salvaging that season. But every time they put Teddy back there, he gets broken in half, and then they have to bring in the dope from Missouri. They passed over Fields.
Mm-hmm.
There's another team I forget that it's always like, why wouldn't they have just picked? And the Giants are one. Why didn't the Giants just sit there at 10 and take him?
So, good question.
I'm glad they didn't.
So Aaron Rodgers can take over the Broncos next year, and that'll be interesting.
Well, I mean, that was the thinking that night, right? Was that the reason that the Broncos were out of the quarterback hunt was that they felt like they were going to just that sometime that night they were going to pull that trade off.
Yeah,
and they might have. But yeah, if you're Aaron Rodgers and you get your get out of Green Bay free card at the end of the year, Denver, that situation is set up. You just go.
That looks pretty attractive.
And I'll be perfectly happy because it's not Green Bay and it's the AFC. And
right.
Maybe he'll just beat us in a Super Bowl or two.
Yeah, there you go.
I think I'd probably take that. Yeah, that's the... As much as you have to watch the Bear coaching and GM, if there's a GM search with, like, through your fingers, it's petrified of what you're about to see.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited about the fallout with of all the owners of the Packers when Aaron Rodgers gives them the finger on the way out of town.
Talk about that board meeting.
Because they have completely, like, you know, they were ready to just let him go in early fall when he hadn't shown up for training camp and or late summer. Screw him. And then he comes back and they're like, but now they're all like, he's going to stay forever.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
He's so happy.
He's not. Nothing changed. You're getting one more year out of him, and you better win the Super Bowl because you're about to enter this dark time that the Bears have been living for a very long time. Once he leaves, all that goes to shit, and I'm ready for it. I've been ready for it for a long time. I remember being so excited when Favre left.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, thank God. Now we don't have to put up with this shit. And then they replaced him with a guy who's better.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen this time.
No.
All right.
Oh, there it is.
So, yeah, we can kick this around again next week after an exciting win and after the Bears ruined the day after Christmas for everybody.
Yeah.
It's just not the same. They're, you know, you can't really ruin the day after Christmas. Boxing Day?
Yeah, I think that's
You can't ruin Boxing Day. Nobody really gives a shit.
Yeah, nobody's walking around going, God, my Boxing Day just sucks.
I can't believe I have to watch the Bears when I should be doing my boxing.
Right. I believe I'm all alone on Boxing Day. Yeah. Well, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you and our listeners.
Yeah, because to you and all the wonderful supporters of this podcast. I don't know why you do this to yourselves, but if we're going to do it to ourselves, we want you to be doing this with us, so we appreciate it.
That's the rules. We don't make them.
Well, thanks, Mike.
All right. Talk to you next time.
Oh, I hit the wrong. Shit.
Many of us have herpes.